wanted to close a little earlier tonight, too, since Rupert gave me the meeting a little earlier as well. All right, reading from verse 1. Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. And here's the verse. Concerning his son Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Through him we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations, for his name, among whom you also are called of Jesus Christ. Remember, we're on the titles of the Lord Jesus and of God. And we started Sunday morning. We didn't get into any of the titles, but we talked about the promises associated with the names of God. Every name of God has a promise. And then Sunday evening, we spoke about Shalom, God of peace. And he leadeth me beside the still waters. And so we labored in the thought of Jehovah, our peace. Well, won't you keep in mind the promises of God are sure because of two specific things. Number one, his deity. He is God. He cannot lie. We emphasize this, and we need to keep it in mind constantly. A little boy came to his mother, and he said, Mother, who is God's father? Now, it's a, you might say, it's a childish question, but he's only a child. Where was God? How did it begin? And the mother thought for a moment, and she was kind of taken back by the question, and then she took off her ring and says, well, son, look at this ring and tell me where you see a beginning. And he searched the ring and he said, Mama, it ain't no starting place and it ain't no stopping place. So she said, son, so it is with God. There is no beginning with God and neither is there a stopping place. Neither is there any ending with God. He is Alpha and the beginning, and Omega, the beginning and the end. He is eternal. So we can thank God for the promises that are real because of his deity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Three, but in one. Don't try to explain it. Just believe. And while we're on that, always keep in mind the Holy Spirit is a spirit of promise. And he's the one that is our teacher, our guide, our helper. He gives instruction. He's the one that also gives us peace. He gives us joy. He gives us love. And he gives us faith, gives us temperance, he gives us control, and he gives us long-suffering. That's what the Holy Spirit does in our life, day by day, when we submit to him. And he plays a vital part in exalting the Lord Jesus as well as promoting Christ. It isn't to say that he is inferior. God forbid. The Holy Spirit is very precious and prominent in the Godhead. And always remember that without him, we can't even pray properly. Without him, we can't live properly. He's there to be our helper, and he's our strength, he's our shield, and so we depend on him quite a bit. The Lord Jesus is the Son. Now, God manifest in the flesh confuses a lot of people. Well, it does stagger our imagination that God should assume a body, but in the person of his Son. Now, sometimes we might pray, and this isn't to be critical, but that we might understand God the Father never died. Now, that might baffle some of us. Sometimes you may hear a brother say that, but don't be too hard on them. But just so that you'd always keep the Godhead in focus properly. God the Son died, but not God the Father. The Father and the Son, although three, but they are different. They are, and they're in their characteristics. They're different in their work. And we must always remember that. That's very, very important. And so then, getting back to the promises of the Lord, they will be performed simply because he is God. He was and is. And it's always bound to fulfill every word of his. I love to think of it. And the prophets would not even be reliable messengers if they declared their promises only as empty words, if they weren't true and inspired. The scriptures would not be holy and recording all of these things that we have, these promises that we have. So keep in mind then that God in his matchless grace, as deity, stands behind his word. So I've sworn unto my servant David, there'll always be a man that will sit on the throne of David. Now God meant that, and the Lord Jesus will assume that throne in a coming day. Then we have other assurances, and that is of his faithfulness. God is faithful. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keepeth commandment to 1,000 generations. That's a long time. Deuteronomy 7 and 9. He is faithful that promise. We need to claim these promises of the Lord. Not only that he is deity, he is God, but that he is faithful and he will indeed keep to his word. We can rejoice in that. There are other verses that we can quote. But I just want to remind you what Morris said the other day or the other evening. The names of God, and he was talking about the Lord being the bread of heaven, the I Am. Well, that term I Am, Jehovah, do you know that it's mentioned 6,823 times in the Word of God? Elohim, 2,570, and Adonai, Lord, 134 times, and Shaddai, the Almighty, 39 times. And each of these names, mind you, designates a specific promise. Every name of God has a promise associated with it. And it's good to know that this Jehovah Jireh is one of my favorites, the whole favorites, of course, but this one is a favorite. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Remember Abraham, as we spoke Sunday morning, when little Isaac wanted to know, Father, where is the lamb? We've got everything, but where is the lamb? Son, God will provide. There's the word, provide. Jehovah Jireh, a lamb. And so the provider in that title that was given to him is so precious that we can afford to claim it. We can afford to lay hold of it on that promise. Because that's exactly what it means. And in Abraham's case, the guilt, the sacrifice that was needed, a lamb was provided. And so with our state, our condition, the Lamb of God was provided for us. Jehovah Jireh, the greatest gift of all, as we spoke about that gift Sunday evening. He is also Jehovah Jireh in giving us strength. Strength for the day and for tomorrow too. Strength for duty as he gives us faith. And then deliverance from danger. He is Jehovah Jireh. You know, sometimes we fail to realize what God really protects us from. You know, you never see a lot of the things. And what we know he does. And Brother Graylin prayed about the Lord taking the men out and bringing them. They don't even know scarcely a part of what God protects them from. If you knew, it probably would cause you to be frightened to death and you'd tremble. There are the unseen things that you don't know anything about. But he's Jehovah Jireh. He provides, he protects, he strengthens, he delivers from danger. Jehovah Jireh is a blessing when we obey him. This is what one of the promises he made even to the people, his people, Israel. But, of course, unfortunately, many of them disobeyed him. And how tragic it is, so frequently we do as well. But the Lord is there to provide for us. Then he's Jehovah Raphi, he's our healer. Now there's a lot of confusion in healing today, but he is still the healer. Many times we focus on the physical healing, and I can understand that because when you're not well, Your whole system is out of whack. Try to read your Bible when you have a severe headache. Try to get on your knees and pray when you have a toothache or severe earache or if arthritis is really plaguing you. It's not always easy when you have the flu to concentrate. You ever notice that when you have a flu? Your whole system is out of whack. So physically, we want to be well, and rightly so. There's nothing wrong with that. But you know, the Lord's promise, not only to give the physical healing, but He's also promised to give us spiritual healing. And you'd be surprised. I'm not talking about living in sin. There are sometimes we get so emotional and so, filled with anxiety, and that word was used tonight. Anxiety, it runs very high with us. Just being at the dock this afternoon when Daphne told me about Paula and I was there at the dock to see her in that condition, that state, she was trembling with chills, and her pressure is so high, her platelets went right down low, extremely low. It just does something to you. And the older you get, it doesn't get any better. Some of you older folk here tonight, that's not a very good promise. But I might as well tell it like it is. It doesn't get any better. But in your heart, Jehovah Rapha, my healer. And thank God, beloved, He does give healing, even in the face of anxiety. And we need this healing. You know, in Israel's day, listen to this. If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, will do that which is right in His sight, give ear to His commandments, keep all His statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon you which I brought upon the Egyptians. And Israel had that promise carried out by the Lord all through the wilderness. And they grumbled, like I was sharing in the prayer meeting this morning. You know, Israel looked back to the leeks and the garlic and the melons in Egypt. But they forgot about the lashes and the no shoes on the feet. If they'd have looked down, they'd have seen shoes on their feet. They never had shoes. Slaves didn't wear shoes in Egypt. And then they had to work hard and had to find their materials to make brick. And the lashes by the cruel masters, taskmasters of the day, they didn't look at that. All they could see is a little melon patch they had in the backyard of their little hut or whatever it was, little tent. Millions of the Jews, they suffered terribly in Egypt. And that's all they could. We were better off in Egypt. That's what they kept saying. And they didn't think of when God delivered them from the army of Pharaoh in the Red Sea. They didn't see that. They've lost sight of the God of creation as well as the God of Israel. And they couldn't see Him in the present. So what did they do? They went out and they built a calf, a golden calf, and worshiped that. You know why? Because their leader was up in the mountain too long. What a pity. Now our leader is here. Our Lord Jesus and God is present with us. And so we turn to Him. We remember Him Lord's Day after Lord's Day. And the emblems, our prayer, our desire is that we might see the Lord and go away refreshed. And every meeting we come to, it's the same thing. Because, listen, where two or three are gathered together in my name, what? There, come on, there am I in their midst. So when you're here tonight, don't look at the Lord Jesus being way out there. He's here. Not in the middle, in the midst. The whole room is filled with His presence. That's the promise of His word, beloved. And it's His presence that gives us genuine healing. The Rapha, the healer, is also the fact that we claim future tense of His coming and the fact that He's going to change our bodies one of these days. And thank God for that. And our bodies will really need changing. And then quickly, there is Jehovah Nissi. The Lord is my banner. Have you ever noticed how many people are always carrying a banner, demonstrating all over the world? I don't know where they get the energy from. Man, they demonstrate for some of the silliest things. They got their banners, and of course you got those unions who picketed, and they got their banner up, more pay. You got some for a cause, and you wonder what the cause is sometimes. Some of them are against the Christmas tree in front of the White House, and some will have a banner. But the Christian also has his banner. Let's hold that banner high, beloved, because the Word says, the Lord is my banner. He is my Nisi, Jehovah Nisi. Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nisi. He did that. You'll find that in Exodus 17 and 15. And God said, I am thy shield. What is a shield? A shield is a banner. There you have the first recording instance of it in Genesis 15 and 1. And I like what Samuel said, give me the shield of thy salvation. Now, that's a banner good to have. You have the banner of salvation in your heart tonight. You rejoice in this banner. Thank God nobody can take it away from you. It's there, that banner. It's that symbol that we have and that no one can take away from us. And then we got Song of Solomon 8 and 4, a verse I quote quite often. His banner over me is love. Isn't that a good banner? That's a banner that shields us and keeps us. He loves us. Sometimes I wonder how he could love me, but he does. Believe it or not, he loves me. All of my frailties and weaknesses, I'm not proud of them, but he loves me just the same. You know, he never changes. I try to tell backsliders that. I was talking to a man some time ago, not from this area, and he was so distraught. How could God ever love him? How could God ever use him or take him back again? And I had to tell him this. I said, let me tell you, son, the love of God has not changed from the time you went away from him right now. He loves you now just as much as he did then. I could see a change over his face. It dawned on him. I said, your love, like my love sometimes, may change and waver, but his love is the same. His love over me, his banner over me is love. Hallelujah for that wonderful truth. And then Psalm 60 and verse 4 says, a banner to them that fear him, that godly fear that Wayne was preaching on some time ago in the young people. Not that fear or like terror. That's not the idea. Holy reverence for God because he's a banner to us. And it's a standard for the people in Isaiah 49:22. Signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. You know, signs and wonders there, the term is a banner. It's a banner. Signs, miracle, the miracle, and the banner, wonders. Wonder, the banner of wonders. And we're all about that this time of the year, are we not? Of thy holy child Jesus. The term captain has the idea of being our banner as well. And we thank God for that. Why, there's so much more we could say about that. I trust that our hearts at least will be blessed by that aspect of his person, the fact that he is our banner. Of course, it speaks to God as our campaigner as well. God is on our side. He goes before us. As the captains or the leaders of an army, he goes before, so God goes before us. And I all the banners we read about or read about tonight, the fact that he is our banner is good enough for me. It says, and the Lord shall fight for you, and you will hold your peace. In every age we've had this, forces against the church, war against God, war against the family, war against individuals, war against our teenagers, war against the Christian. You've got these wars again and again. But I want to tell you, God is also at war. He's fighting for us. He fights the devil. And he's not going to allow the devil to do anything or any more than what he will permit him. He'll only go so far. One preacher I heard said or read where he said, the devil is like a dog on a leash. God has the leash. And he can only go so far, and he can only do so much. Why do you think of that? I know he is a tyrant. I know he's a terror of the age. But he can only go so far. The book of Job is a classic example of that. Satan is limited. We might think it's unlimited, and the power of the devil raging today seemingly as never before. And more is to come. He's going to even wage war against heaven, against God, against Christ. And of course, that's going to be his final doom. And in Revelation 19, one of the most favorite passages of mine, it just was one or two verses, and God shall take the devil, the Antichrist, and the false prophet, and put them in the bottomless pit. Isn't that amazing? Just all of the ages, or the years and years that the devil has been a torment, and has really plagued the Church of Jesus, plagued the Christian. In that moment, just a sort of a few seconds of time, God will put them in the bottomless pit. Boy, hallelujah, what a time that's going to be. Here's our banner, beloved. You're discouraged, lift up, lift your sights. May your heart be encouraged, because God is our help, He is our victory, and He will overthrow the adversary. Remember what Paul says, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Victory is ever the Lord. Never, never is He ever defeated. He performs what He said He would do. Now here is a very difficult, to me, a tongue twister, but it's very precious. Jehovah Me Kadishkim. Now, don't try to say it. You don't even have to try to remember it. But what I like about the word, here the Lord is our sanctification. Our sanctification. That's what it means. He's our sanctification. The Lord does sanctify you, said Moses. Who is like unto thee, glorious in holiness. You see, it denotes holiness. And it's a very important aspect. And I have a few more verses here. He is our holy God, Joshua 24:19. I am the Lord, listen, that sanctifieth them. Ye are holy unto the Lord, sanctified unto the Lord. You see? Then in John 17:17, in his prayer, the Lord Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth. The same word that I refer to, what God is, our sanctifier, and he says, sanctify them by the Spirit of our God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, as we have in 1 Thessalonians 5:23. So the root of sanctification is in two parts. And I leave you with this. The first part is separation. We're being sanctified by God. He's called us unto himself. Sanctified people, like they did with the lambs and the offerings of the Old Testament, as they were scrutinized and looked and see if there were any blemishes, the priest took him aside. And because he was sanctified now. He was separated, you see, from all the other creatures there in the fold. He's going to be offered up. Which brings us to the second thought. Not just sanctification, but dedication. You've got what we call a positional sanctification. When you became a Christian, you were automatically sanctified. And I guess you know that, I'm sure. But then, as I live for Him day by day, even though positionally I know I'm sanctified, but sometimes my actions, my thought life, my words, they're not sanctifying. They're not holy. Well, remember the hymn, More Holiness Given Me? Well, it's a beautiful hymn. And there's nothing wrong with that hymn, because each of us, day by day in our prayer life, we cry to God, oh God, you give me your holiness. Mine isn't worth anything. If holiness is developed by the flesh, it won't amount to anything. I want Christ to live in my life. I need you, Lord, to be our help. To be my help. Like the Jewish man went to his priest and he was terribly disturbed and he studied the life of Jesus. And he said to him one day, or he asked really, tell me, when our Messiah comes, how will he be any different than the Messiah of the Christian? And the Jewish rabbi had to tell him, son, I'm going to be very honest with you. That I don't see any difference. Although he wouldn't accept the Christ of God and the Christ that we know. They're still looking for a Messiah, the Messiah. They crucified the true Messiah. In blindness, they didn't recognize, neither did they receive him. But I like what the young man said. What will our Messiah have over the Messiah of the Christian? None whatsoever. Oh, praise God, beloved. He is our friend. He is indeed our banner, as we said. And he is our sanctifier. And he is our sanctification. And so, with his help, we want to be dedicated to him and then to his work, okay? To belong wholly to him and to be used for his glory. Know, as we have in Psalm 4:3, a good verse. Listen, know that the Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. Beautiful verse. Oh, may the Lord just encourage our hearts just to trust him. He gives us that holiness. I don't have any holiness in my own heart, but it's his holiness. And that's what makes the difference, okay? Here's another one. Got a few more minutes. Jehovah is a Boaz, the Lord of hosts. This is really precious because we always say the Lord of hosts, the God of hosts, and a great host like unto the host of God. And that's in Chronicles 12. But then, is very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, said one of the kings. The Lord of hosts is with us. Go forth with our host, Psalm 108 and verse 11. The Lord of hosts is his name. You read that a lot. The Lord of Sabaoth, as we have in Romans 9:29, he is the King of glory. This Lord of hosts is not this plural use as a divine designation full of encouragement for our heart. Not an indication of God's sovereignty, or it is rather in every realm of our life, his ability to fulfill every promise of his on our behalf. He's the Lord of hosts. Of course, you got the Lord of the angelic hosts. We read that in the Bible. He's Lord over them. All the bird life, the animal life, the hosts of creatures, he's Lord over them. He's Lord over the angels, as I said, when you stop to think that, we've said this recently along with others, 185,000 men were killed by one angel. The Lord of hosts over the angelic host. And Jesus said, could I not call 12 legions of angels? Some believe 72,000 angels. 6,000 to a legion. That's a lot of angels. He's got more than that. But he said, I could call them at my disposal because I'm the Lord of the angelic host. If one angel could destroy 185,000 people, man, what could 35,000 angels do? Wipe out the entire world and more besides. Powerful angelic hosts. Powerful angelic host, and he's on our side. Isn't it wonderful? The Lord of hosts is with us. He will not suffer our feet to be moved because he is our host. I thank God for it. Thinking of another verse of this, the Lord God over human hosts. I mentioned that, did I not? And this should help us not to fear the way we do. And it's part of our makeup, I know. We need to trust him more. He's supreme over the devil. And he's under the control of God. And he can only go so far and do so much because he is the Lord of hosts. I think we'll stop there because I said I promised you we're going to stop early tonight. And because the other one will carry on maybe on the Bible study, Lord willing, Sunday morning. The young man, he was Japanese, and he read the Gospels because he was told to read the Bible. And he approached these Christians one day, and he said, who is this Jesus? I've been reading about him. He is no mere man. He is a God. They told him. They said, we've been telling you that a long time now. They had the joy of leading the man to the Lord just by him reading the life of Christ. He's not a mere man. He is a God. Not a God. They had to correct him and show him that he was God manifest in the flesh. The Lord of hosts. He is our Rapha, our healer. He is Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Nisi, our banner. And thank God he's even that and even more. Oh, I know. Sometimes I hope you don't get bored with these titles. Going over them, it's been an encouragement to my heart. Believe me, it has. And because the more we know him, the more we want to draw near to him and love him, okay? Because Christmas today, it's sad. A lot of people don't even know what it's all about. As a teacher asked his class to write down on a piece of paper what they thought of Christmas, and to them, what was Christmas to them. And all the papers came back, holly, tree, lights, goodies, and not one of them said the birthday of Jesus. This was in an American school. A census was taken, or a little survey, rather. And that's, they came up with everything, holiday and so on, but no birthday of Jesus. It's amazing how uninformed so many of these people are. But you and I, of course, we know the difference, do we not? And have you ever thought what it'd be like if the Lord Jesus had never come? You ever thought of that? I'll close with that. Because that's what a little boy, reading the Bible, said to his daddy, Father, suppose the Lord Jesus had not come. And so I have it in print before me. And I quote, when he thought of this, he said, well, Christmas morning, there'll be no stocking or holly wreaths for true. But that if you go for a walk, you'll discover factories are busy at work, but there are no orphanages. Or he went to the orphanage and found only a vacant lot. He went to the church and found a for sale sign, if I had not come. Again, he found these words over a gatepost of an empty lot. This is an allegory, of course, where he went to find a hospital. Disconsolate, he ran home and picked up his Bible, and all the last part of the book had blank pages. He awoke. It was actually a dream. He awoke, and lo, it was a dream. And he was so glad that it was just a dream. But if Jesus had not come, let me tell you something. There are orphanages out there. Your hospitals were started by Christians. Do you know universities were started by Christians? Great acts of kindness, reaching poor people in the world, Salvation Army, started by Christians. And they don't want to give the Christians credit. Because now in America, sad to say, they want to strip America of everything that is Christian or Christ-like. In God we trust, off the coins. Can't stand the fact that there's a Christmas tree outside the White House. They want to call it a holiday tree. I know you've been kept abreast with the news. And it just goes on and on. You can't say Merry Christmas no more. At least that's what they want. In the malls. And the whole idea behind it is they hate Christ so much. They do not want the name Jesus. And you know something? What's sad? Only about 12% of the people in America feel this way. And they want to rule America with that 12%. I tell you, that is shockingly sad. But what is Christmas to us tonight as believers? It's Christ, isn't it? And all of Christ. Anything short of him would be utter failure. And I know you want to approach this year with renewed vigor and anticipation of the fact. We're going to preach Christ. We're going to promote Christ. We're going to adore him more than ever in our adoration, and we're going to worship him more than we ever worship him. You know why? Because he is our Lord, he is our Savior, and we're waiting for the day when he comes for us. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you indeed for your precious word. We thank you for the titles with a promise. We know that you are Jehovah Jireh, you will provide, you are our banner, you are our strength, you are our healer, and you are our righteousness, our holiness, You're the Lord of hosts, and we bless you for this. And we pray that our hearts would be encouraged, because sometimes, Father, we pray, and we're not seeing answers to our prayer, but we know that you're listening. And we believe that you're going to answer. And we've been confronted tonight with some very serious things and sad things, physical illnesses of your dear children. We commend them to you, Lord, and pray that they will know what it means to rest in the Lord. You said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Lord, it is our prayer indeed that our hearts truly will know the joy of your presence and that you'll give the encouragement that we need from time to time. And we ask these things in our Savior's precious name, giving you our heartfelt thanks. Amen.